I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God. My strength, my weakness. You are my strength. Oh, yes, you are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Amen. You pick me up when I am dry. You fill my cup. You are my all. In all, oh Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing it again. Worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. Oh, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He's, oh yes, to the uttermost. I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around. Oh, He placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, that it makes me want to shout. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy. Oh, yes. Of all the glory and all the honor and all. Oh, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to shout. Oh, hallelujah. How He picked me up and One more time, he's worthy of all the glory and all the praise. And it makes me want to shout, oh hallelujah, thank you Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor. Oh yes, you are Lord. A hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. 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 If he did something for you last night, you have something to shout about. If he brought you here to the service this morning, we have something to shout about. Amen. 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 We want to remember to pray for Brother Joseph, my boy's brother and sister. He asked to remember them in prayer as they have a lot of final exams coming up this week. Amen. We want to continue to also remember Brother Homer Frazier. Amen. If you have a need, we're going to take it before the Lord. Amen. But this morning is our morning. Amen. Last night was our night, and the Lord's given us another service to praise Him, to hear from His throne of glory. Amen. I was talking to Brother Craig Boer, and he said, you know, the mornings are kind of like a treat for us. We don't have our children to worry about. We just get to come enjoy the service. Amen. I think that that's a good attitude for us to have, to put everything aside. We don't have any distraction. And we're here for one thing, and that's to hear from the Lord. Amen. We have a good friend here this morning, Brother Johnny Smith. I'm going to ask you to come open the service for us in a word of prayer. Amen. And as he comes, if you have a need, lift it to him. Amen. If you just want to tell him this morning, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Amen. All you've done in my life, for coming and meeting me last night. How many enjoyed that service last night? Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Let us bow our heads. Father, this morning, O Lord, as we come before thy presence, thanking you, Father, again for thy goodness, thy grace and mercy. Thanking you, Father, again for thy loving care. For, O Lord God, all the things, O Lord Jesus, of which you have done for us. For, Lord, you, O Lord Jesus, is worthy, O Lord, as we've sung the song of all of our praise, all of our glory, and all of our honor. And we are here this morning, O Lord God, with thanksgiving in our heart. We are here this morning, O Lord God, to tell you, Lord Jesus, how much we love you, Lord. How much we adore you, Lord Jesus. How much, O Lord God, you've been our all in all to us, O Lord. Thank you, Father God, again for making yourself known to us, O Lord. Lord, even, O Lord God, in the song services, O Lord, in the meetings, O Lord God, that started the other night. Lord, you've been wonderful, O Lord Jesus. And we know, Lord God, that you are not a God of decrease, O Lord, but you are a God of increase. So we are looking this morning, Father God, for you to just pour out your spirit again, O Lord Jesus, and touch us, O Lord God, in a mighty way. Lord, let us stir us up, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us what we need, Lord God, in order to please you, Father God, to do the things, O Lord God, of which is, Lord God, pleasing in your holy and divine sight. Lord, I thank you, Father, for, O Lord God, my church members. Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters, O Lord, of like precious faith. O Lord God, it is an honor this morning, O Lord, to, Lord God, to speak, O Lord God, and to represent, O Lord God, the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning again, Father. Lord, bless us, O Lord God, as we've gathered together. Oh, in the name of Jesus, O Lord, we ask this. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. Amen. And how we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in, and I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Come on. Their voice is clear and strong when the redeemed are gathered in. And then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow, free from all. And I will see when the redeemed are gathering in. And then the Savior will give order to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and we'll hear His invitation, come and bless it up. Oh, when the redeemed.
Wow. ahead. We're going to ask Brother Gary's thank you to bring his special immediately following him, Sister Hannah Smith. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus one more time. Victory today is mine. Amen. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. And
praise the Lord. So many years I cry, 'cause my mind denied that he could save a wretch like me. So full of gloom and dread, I just hung my head. I couldn't claim the victory. But then one day his love, like a spirit dove, settled down into my soul. And then I realized he had authorized my token to eternal life. On the authority of his holy word, I'll rise up and take my stand. I'm a blood-washed child of the living God, who is the great I am. And I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my promises given on his authority. Well, it is a mystery why he came to me, why he should take me for his own, and why he pulled me out of the lake of doubt, right beside his throne. He even guaranteed with his sealed decree my inheritance, my right. I'm his chosen child that makes me smile. I'm ordained to eternal life. Well, it's a mystery why he came to me, why he should claim me for his own. He even pulled me out of that lake of doubt. He set me right beside his throne. He even guaranteed with a sealed decree my inheritance, my right. I'm his chosen child that makes me smile. I'm ordained to eternal life. You see, 3 years ago, I was laying in the hospital in Shreveport. And it just about took my life. I was getting lower and lower and lower. But then God came on the scene. It was a Monday afternoon about 1:30. A little black-headed man who stands about this high to me came in with his wife. And he came and he pulled up his chair beside the bed. And we began talking about some of the things that God was doing in my life. I told him of the time when
When Satan came in so strongly, I could feel his presence, the opposition against me. And I realized it was the enemy. I called upon the name of the Lord. I reminded him of the promises he had given his disciples. And we've seen it time and time again. And we've heard it in the life of the prophet, that we would ask anything in his name, it shall be done. And I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you said, Lord, we could ask and believe that you would, Lord Jesus, come on the scene and cast out the enemy. And oh, when it was all over with, there was licks of fire in the room. You see, my hospital room had become a cage of all kinds of birds, all kinds of evil spirits. And I thought, well, how could that be? Well, no telling how many sick people had died in that room before, and those demons were left there. And so, thank God, I'm here this morning. I want to say, thank God. And it was because of that man right there that prayed for me, and God came on the scene. And 8 days later, they rolled me out, and I was able to go home. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for letting me live. He had a purpose for me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, as a result of that, this verse came to me. When Satan comes to me, he tries to make me feel that he can take control over me. He tries to make me doubt, give me the runabout. That promise wasn't meant for you. But thank God for the truth, Jesus, give him the boot. He no longer has a claim on me. And the work can't fail, he's only out on bail, waiting for his judgment day. On the authority of his holy word, I'll rise up, take my stand. I'm a blood-washed child of a living God, who is the great I am. And I'm an heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my promises, given on his authority, given on his authority. Given all his authority.
My physicians tried in vain for 12 long years of pain. It's proof that there is nothing they can do. But I heard somebody say there's a healer on the way. Somehow I have to press my way through. I've gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. I know that he's the answer to my need. Get to Jesus. my world is torn apart. I need healing for my heart. I really don't know how much more I can take. Trapped inside a cloud of disbelief and doubt, I only know one way.
Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Key of D. Ask Brother Brandon Winters and those singing with him to make their way. Let's just sing this chorus. Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. Is the grace that still sets me free. Oh, to praise Him. And I know that the blood supplies. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. Let's just sing that one more time. Greater than all my sin. It is greater than all my sin. It's the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. Oh, to praise Him. And I know that the blood supply, I'm walking in newness of life. Oh, I cannot fall. Oh, for it's greater than all. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. Amen. Immediately after this, I'm going to ask Sister Tina, Sister Jessica to bring their special as well.
The flesh of mine's always trying to conquer the new me. He may get his way sometimes, but I drag him to church each week. You see, I'm just thankful to wake up and take another breath each day. You might not think I've got a reason, but if you'll listen close, I'll say I just wanna praise you for every little thing you do when my world's turned upside down. weak. When the storms of life get rough, I'll lift your name. I just want to give you praise. Oh yeah. I get impatient every once in a while when I can't see your plan. Then the trials come along and it makes it hard to even stand. Oh, but in the middle of the battle I find your hand to hold on to. And I realize everything is possible because of you. I just want to praise you for every little thing you do. When my world's turned upside down, you turn it around. Every trial sent my way is ordering the steps I take. When the storms of life get rough, I'll lift your name. I just want to give you praise. Oh yeah, yeah. I just want to give you praise. And I want to thank you for all the little things that you've done for me. You've given me a song, strength to carry on, I'll forever sing. And I want to thank you for all the little things that you've done for me. You've given me a song, strength to carry on, I'll forever sing. And I want to thank you for all the little things that you've done for me. You've given me a song, strength to carry on, I'll forever sing. I just want to praise you for every little thing you do. When my world's turned upside down, you turn it around. Every trial sent my way is ordering the steps I take. When the storms of life get rough, I'll lift your name. I just want to give you praise. I just want to praise you for every little thing you do. When my world's turned upside down, you turn it around. Every trial sent my way is ordering the steps I take. When the storms of life wanna give you praise. I just wanna give you praise. Yeah. I just wanna give you praise.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, amen. Amen. Are you here to give Him praise this morning? Amen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Appreciate every one of those specials. Amen. All I can say right now is I just want to give Him thanks. Let's just sing that together as we turn the service over to Brother Tim.
Oh, I want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all.
I just want to give you praise
for everything you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, oh, oh. I give, oh, I thank thanks. Yes, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks.
We ought to be a thankful people this morning. Grateful to the Almighty God. Amen. Brother Ron and I he just said something to me about the different song specials. And said, you know, we've already had two, and both of them are incredible miracles. And we had these young men that came up and sang. I looked over here and I said, that's another incredible miracle. Amen. We're all miracles. Amen. That God would reach down to where we were and pull us out of sin. Amen. What a mighty God. What a Savior. Amen. Listen to Brother Wayne Lawson last night. You'd go to alivinggod.com. You could hear his testimony. He's a miracle. Amen. We're every one of us a miracle. What God's done in our lives and how he's changed us in his presence. Because it's him speaking in this last day. We heard last night of a guide. Amen. I mean, felt like you got a hold of that line. Amen. We're not turning loose until it takes us right in. Amen. I want to share with you just a little quotation. You know, you may wonder why we do what we do. You may wonder why we have ministers like we do, to have them come and speak in services like this. But I want to just share with you why. I want you to see why. Brother Branham would say, notice in this throne, before the throne was seven stars, the voice of the stars. Voices. You see, there was more in Revelation 4 or 5, we find out, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Not one voice, voices. Plural. What was it? God speaking to the church, reflecting himself through the seven spirits. Amen. When the true anointed of God speaks, it is the voice of God. To reject it is to remove the candlestick. See, voices. Voices of the seven church ages. The voice is speaking with thunder and lightnings. And you may think that just applies only to the seven messengers, friend. That's not true. No, sir, there's voices under the throne. And even Brother Branham said, when he spoke about the angel in the pulpit, and he said, well, if you take your pastor and try to put him under your thumb and control him rather than let him be led by the Holy Spirit of God, he said, God will remove that candlestick. Amen. Because he's not going to let his sons of God be man controlled by the people or some ministerial hierarchy or some headquarters that is being set up. He said, nowadays they're so, well, we don't believe in saying hell in the pulpit. Oh, mercy. So blah. We need men of God. Men who won't hold back. Now, everybody can't be a preacher, but you got a voice. And if you can't preach the people a sermon, if you're a preacher, listen to this. If you're a preacher, you are called to the pulpit to preach. Amen. But live. But if you're not a preacher, you're still a preacher. But live the people a sermon. Let your sermon be lived. And it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them that reject it. They say, no one can put a finger on his or her life. They're sweet loving. If there ever was a man of God, it's that man or woman. Live your sermons. Don't try to preach if you're not called to be a preacher. You'll get it all messed up. Anyhow, you're messed up and you'll get people tangled up. And you won't know. You'll ruin them and yourselves too. Just live your sermon. So if you're not called of God, don't try to handle the word. Amen. It takes men of God anointed by God to rightly divide the word of truth. And then he says, all right, here was voices. Oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of live voices the thunder of God's thundering out in sweetness and holiness, purity, undefiled lives, walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Yes, sir, real Christians, that's thunder against the enemy. The devil don't care how loud you holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump or what you can do or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see the sanctified, holy life consecrated to God. Say anything to him. Call him anything. Just as sweet as it can be and move right on. Oh my, that throws him away. That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Amen. I'll tell you, it's been thundering out of here. Amen. The voice of God shaking the power of Satan's kingdom. His kingdom is coming down and it is falling. But there is a bride that is rising in this hour. You have not been called to fall, but you have been called to rise, to ascend. Amen. What a day, what an hour that we are living in today. And we just want to just today move into the presence of God. And invite him now. Speak to my heart. Lord, you've got a voice. You're speaking in this last day. You're speaking. You're speaking. You spoke through the seventh angel. He sounded his message. But you've still got a voice in this last day. People have taken the book. And they're reading the book. And now thou must prophesy again. I believe in the bride's prophecy tonight, today. We are that prophecy. And we are prophesying out into a world through your life, through the sermons that are preached, through the changed lives that are taking place. Amen. God bless you this morning. Listen to the voice of God. Today, if you will hear his voice and not harden your heart. Amen. He's given another opportunity. It's the final voice. I'm just going to say to you, if this message doesn't awaken you, there is nothing else coming that will awaken you. If this doesn't revive you and turn your heart back to faith, there is nothing else coming that will turn your heart back to faith again. You say, well, what we heard last night, Brother Tim, was just, that's just faith. People, you know, can have faith. Friends, that wasn't just faith. What we're seeing among us is the product of the Word of God in action. It's the proof. It's the infallible proof of His resurrection that there's somebody here. And it's more than just somebody having faith. They can do that in a witch doctor's camp. But this is more than just having faith. This is the rapture. The rapture being demonstrated. Quickening power. Rapture working in lives and hearts. Bringing you up to a higher level. Invite him to come today. Amen. We're going to sing the song, He is Here Now. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. And I want you to hear the word today. Don't reject him that speaks. God has something very specific for this morning. You say, Brother Tim, we heard what he said last night. But he's speaking again today. Service after service. That was one glory. He's wanting to raise you to another glory. The word's going to be open. The mirror of that word. And you're going to be changed as you look into that word in the face of that open book. From glory to glory. Invite him to speak. Brother Danny Steeman's going to minister today. But it's not Danny. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaking expressly. Hear His voice. Hear the voice behind the voice. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Oh. His name again. Invite him to come now. He is here. Just listen closely. It's going to be calling out your name.
never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Hey. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can touch you this morning. We're so thankful we've been drawn here together. Lord, you said where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. We're so thankful for your drawing power, and we're so thankful for a meeting like this that we can come and just lay aside our thoughts and hindrances, Lord, and just enter into the service. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you would take complete control, that you would anoint my lips, Lord. And I pray, Father, that all the things that are said and done, that you would get the glory and honor for it. And we'll be careful to praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, I just want to say, man, it's certainly been wonderful to be a part of this camp. And I just personally appreciate, amen, the fellowship and meetings that we've had. I appreciate the fellowships with the ministering brothers. Amen. I've learned and I've grown in these services, and I certainly appreciate the Lord. How many say amen to that? And what a wonderful service it was last night, Brother Wayne. Thank you, amen, for that and for giving to the Lord. And man, just a little testimony from last night. And I know so many things happened, but personally, I just want to thank the Lord for what he's done for my mother. Amen. In these meetings, my mother, we had to call 911, I believe it was Thursday morning, to go into the hospital for her heart condition. And the Lord just touched her there. And then when she came back and the ministers prayed for her, she told me that as they began to pray, she said, I just relaxed into that prayer and began to accept it for my own. And as I began to accept it for my own, I just felt my strength beginning to return. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, isn't it? Just accept it for our own. And then last night, as Brother Ron was walking out, he said, as he walked outside, he said he saw a white light come down between him and a woman right there. And when he turned, it was my mother. Amen. It come down and he just placed his hand upon her neck and he just said, I thank God for complete deliverance. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. Man, you might be skeptical and say, well, I don't believe that, but I believe it. Amen. Not just because it's my mother, but because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Appreciate Brother Tim and the opportunity to be here. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're just going to read a very familiar portion of Scripture. Amen. Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Just going to take a thought from that and title it this morning, It's Your Turn to Answer the Question. It's your turn to answer the question. Here we have God in man. Jesus is the express image of God, and he's asking his disciples a question. When God comes, it's always a showdown. He doesn't just come to come, but he's coming because he has a purpose, and he's coming to fulfill his word. When he came down in the Garden of Eden, he came as a showdown. He didn't come to just come, but he came to show them, amen, that it would take a lamb to cover, amen, the fall of man. He came for a purpose. This was not something that God just did spontaneously, but he did it because he had already, before the foundation of the world, the Bible says that the lamb was slain. Amen. When he came, it's always a showdown. It was a showdown on Mount Moriah when he had Abraham up there to sacrifice his son. He didn't just come just to come, but he come, amen, to provide a sacrifice. Man, he didn't just come randomly. He came because he had a purpose. Abraham didn't just go up there randomly, but God had called him to go. And Abraham didn't explain why he was gone. Amen. And because if he'd have told his wife, of course there'd have been conflict. But he went because God had called him to go. And when God calls, it's always with a purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was a showdown on Mount Horeb when God was attracting a prophet's attention. Amen. To fulfill his word. And amen. To fulfill his word to his seed. Amen. It was a showdown on Mount Carmel. When they were gathered together, it was a religious showdown. When Israel had become divided, most of them had followed after Baal. Amen. But God came down to prove that Jehovah is still God. Amen. When Jesus came to John and he was baptized, the Bible said the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." It was God, the prophet said, position him before the people. Amen. As his son. He did not become his son, but he was always the son. But it was God positioned him before the people as his son. But it was then that the devil began to question him. When God positioned him, it was then that the devil began to question him, began to say, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Amen. Prove to me, amen, that prophecy is fulfilled. But Jesus had the answer to the devil's question. Jesus didn't have to prove himself to Satan, and neither do we have to prove ourselves to Satan. When Jesus came to his hometown and he was asked to read from the scriptures, he took the scroll of Isaiah, and I'm just going to read it to you out of Luke. And he found the place where it is written, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And they all bear him witness. And they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But the things that he said to them did not convince them that he was the fulfillment of scripture. For they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And by the end of the chapter, they're trying to kill him.
He's being rejected in his own hometown, and they're failing to see who he is. They couldn't see their hour because the fulfillment of the word was too simple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It wasn't significant enough to them. Maybe this meeting hasn't been significant enough to you. But when Jesus spoke, he was under the greatest anointing that there could be given to a man. He had the Spirit without measure, and he took the word and he found the place where it was written of him. And brother prophet said, amen, the anointing wasn't necessarily in emotions, but the anointing was, he knew who he was. And he knew what the scripture said about him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, the greatest power is supreme power in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The prophet said, you may not be able to understand it as you walk here. You may not be able to get it, but I challenge your faith that you come and believe what I have told you and watch what happens. Man, we saw God do that last night. Amen. As the word was preached, he took a specific scripture and said, this is how God is. Amen. We've heard it all along that this is the characteristics of God. But then God came. But because it's flesh, because it's a human vessel that God is using, that he's anointing, and that he's blessing, it's not significant enough for the people to catch that God is fulfilling his word. God was providing the people with a fulfilled word right before them, and they rejected it with their questions. They could not make that leap into faith. They couldn't see beyond their senses to grasp his word. Why? They had nothing in them to release unto them their desires in God. Amen. But Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Messiah that was to come into the earth. And he had faith in who he was. Amen. What upsets the devil is when a man takes the word as for himself. Amen. It didn't upset him. It don't upset the enemy. Man, because the Jews read Moses. It didn't upset him because they read the prophets, because he could get in their reading and he could confuse them. It don't upset him today when you just play a tape. Somebody help me. It don't upset him today if you just read his word. But it's when your faith begins to take the word of your hour and begins to claim it, this is mine. This is my identification. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what upsets the enemy. Because when a believer begins to walk with the Lord, they begin to have the same tendencies as the one they're walking with. It was Peter. We all focus on Peter when he walked on the water and he sank. But it was Peter when he saw the Lord. It wasn't Judas. It was Peter when he saw the Lord walking to him. He said, if that be you, Lord, bid me come. There was something in Peter that knew if God could do it, he could do it. He did not get that from just reading Moses. Amen. He got that because the revealed word had come to him and his eyes were being opened. He was being awakened. Praise the name of the Lord. David's mighty men, when they came to him, they weren't so mighty. But when they begin to follow him, they begin to reflect him. David killed a giant. They killed a giant. David killed Philistines. They killed Philistines. What if David said, I'm the only one that kills giants? What if David said, I'm the only one that kills Philistines? Only God, I'm the anointed one.
But as they walked with him, they began to reflect the man they saw. Amen. Because David killed a lion, one of his men, amen, went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. What if he was in mid-leap into that pit and they said, you're not authorized to do that? What if he lost faith halfway down because somebody said, you only play a tape. Don't act like it's you. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. Because they saw it in him, they said, we can do the same thing. That a man could take the sword just like David took the sword, who was an attribute of the Son of God. You're an attribute this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can't kill that lion. You know, history tells us that a lion is at its strongest on a cold day. And this man jumped into this pit. Amen. Jumped into a pit with snow. His footing wasn't secure, but his faith was. He knew he had to come out of that pit just as sure as he went into it. And he knew that the lion that he faced in there was nothing but meat for him, because he knew, amen, that the God that anointed David was the same God that anointed him. And he may not have understood it, amen, but he had something to reflect. He was a Gentile, a mighty man, and he had to reflect somebody that was coming. Hallelujah. Prophet talked about divine revelation of the Word made flesh. He said, if it was made flesh in that day by the Son, the groom, it's the flesh today by the bride. And who can claim that position? Now, I asked who had a complex the other day, and only three of you raised your hands. I hope more of you raise your hands today when I ask who can claim that God-given position. Don't let me sound sacrilegious, but the prophet was building a platform for someone to come. Amen. And it had to be manifested somewhere. This place today is God provided. He made it possible through these people like Brother Tim and the workers that he has by laying the burden of the meeting upon them. Brother Tim talked about how long it has been that he's had a desire to have a camp meeting like this. But that wasn't his desire. It was God's desire that he just placed upon a man. It was like Nehemiah when he went to look at all the brokenness of Jerusalem. He said, I went at night. Nobody knew that I went up. But he was looking with an eye because it was his burden to repair the walls. That wasn't his burden. It was God's burden. But he laid it upon a man, amen, to fulfill the word. It wasn't Brother Tim's burden. It was God's burden. So it's not an accident. This isn't a random event. It's pre-planned by God. How many has heard Brother Ron preach about pre-planning? Probably about every service he preaches. We are pre-planned by God. When I was young, you was preaching pre-planning, and you're still preaching pre-planning. And that's not by accident either. Amen. Because when God pre-plans something, then he transfers it to the workers. And you're here. And this is another event planned by God to get you here. It may not seem supernatural to you. Maybe you came out of curiosity. Maybe you came with your friends, but you're here. The woman caught in adultery, no doubt she did not want to go to Jesus, but she went. And when she went, her life was changed. Maybe she didn't like the vehicles that took her there. Come on, church. But when she got there, the word declared who she was. Praise the name of the Lord. So what I would say is, may this moment be significant to you. May these services be significant to you. God always does something to catch the attention of his people so that you might look at it. My brother Timothy was showing me a quote yesterday. We know the prophet said this. Many times he preached the message God hidden, revealed in simplicity. God cannot make anyone believe. He can only reveal himself in different forms. But you know, when God begins to reveal himself, it always causes questions. When Moses came to Pharaoh, you know, Moses had asked God the question, who shall I say sent me? And he says, you tell him, I am that I am. There's a lot of people claiming to have a present truth. But he says, you tell him, I am that I am. It's a significant I am. But when he went in unto Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't know who God was. He said, who is the God of the Hebrews? They've been slaves to me for years. They've bowed down to my will for years. Who is this God? I don't know who he is. But I tell you, after the time the word got done with him, he knew who he was. Amen. He never believed in him, but he knew he was God. You understand with Pharaoh, the more he found out about God, the more he hardened his heart. So we understand that God is not, he's only responsible to tell you. Look what he done for those that didn't believe. Cain, think about Cain. He heard directly from God. Directly from God. He knew the will of God. God told him what to do, and he still couldn't do it. Why? It was the way he heard the word. Abel by faith slew a lamb and God accepted and he told his brother, amen, that if you do well, you'll be accepted. So Cain knew the way of acceptance. But to Abel, it's a revelation. To Cain, it's a commandment. Well, that's the same that the message is to many people. Amen. Many hear it as a commandment. And amen. The submission of our women, and our women are being, amen, they're being mistreated because they have to live clean. They're not free to cut their hair. Their husbands are evil men. They wear dresses in a day where nobody does. This message, Brother Branham, is just so hard. It's nothing. Amen. They look into the message and all they find is where Brother Branham said dog meat and things like that and said, we want nothing to do with it. Why? It's nothing but a commandment to them. But to people that have the seed of God, it can only come by revelation. It's not a commandment. It's God's will. The rich young ruler knew exactly what to do, and yet he couldn't do it. So you're here. This is your hour. You know, we've never lived in such an hour that there's been a platform provided. Thank you, brother. A platform provided for people to give an opinion virtually on anything they want to. In fact, you can give an opinion of an opinion. You can create your own facts. And people will have an opinion about what you created. Everybody's been given a platform to express anything. And for some reason, people feel that others want to hear what they've got to say. And maybe they think others need to hear what I have to say. So anybody can virtually log into a computer, log into a phone, log into something and give an opinion on something they don't know nothing about. You know, it's like one day, amen, my cousin come to him, he just passed on about a week or so ago, but he come to me and he said, Danny, he said, do you still preach what that Branham preaches? And I said, yes, sir, why do you ask? He said, because he's gone to hell. And I said, well, you know, I said, Jimmy, I said, you know, I probably wouldn't have said anything if you'd have just asked me if I was a preacher. But because you said he's gone to hell, I want to ask you something. I said, how many of his books or tapes have you actually studied or listened to? He goes, well, he said, I actually haven't studied any of them. He said, but my dad read one book and he said, it's no good. I said, so you send a man to hell by somebody else's opinion. I said, Jimmy, I'm going to prove to you, amen, you don't even believe your own Bible. You only believe what your church says. And he began to get angry with me. I said, you don't have a right to get angry with me. You started this conversation. Amen. But he began to tell me, I asked him a simple question. I said, Jimmy, amen, this is elementary. I said, Jimmy, who created the heavens and the earth? He said, well, God did. That's easy. I said, yes. But do you know, it said, by Jesus Christ, all things were created. He goes, that isn't true. I said, see, you only believe what your preachers tell you. You're not even willing to look for yourself. What kind of thinking is it that you're so comfortable with your soul condition? You leave it up to an opinion of somebody else. You trust them because they're a family relation. I'll tell you what it is. It's nothing but a religious devil. You've never come into contact with the living God. But when you come into contact with him, you'll know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the name of the Lord. We saw the power of this platform. That people can express their opinions. They can rise up. They had what they called the Arab Spring. And it started. It come through social medias and everything else. And rose up in the people. It didn't create good. But it started at a local level. They had a voice that can be heard. Why? Because the power of the voice can't be underestimated. Proverbs says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And never has that power been put on display in a day like this day. The power, amen, of social media has created uprisings and downfalls all through the power of the tongue. There's power in speech. It's a God-given right that Satan has perverted to his own means. He perverted anything that had a voice. Satan understands the power of words and the ability that they have to disrupt and corrupt and to confuse. James said that birds and beasts and animals, things in the sea have been tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. He said great ships are controlled by a little rudder in the midst of the sea, and a horse is controlled by a bridle and bits in its mouth, and it turns them wherever they would go. And so the tongue sits in the body, able to turn for both good and bad. Even so much so, we're told by the prophet, our confession of faith should never be negative. You ought not to give the devil anything to go on. No matter how weak you feel, let the weak say they're strong. No matter how poor you are, let the poor say they're rich. Why? The enemy is watching you to see how effective he is. That's why the prophet said, don't even say you're a weak Christian. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Why? Amen. Because the devil will get a hold of that. He said, when you begin to talk like that, you're talking the devil's language. We're not called to talk like the devil. When the Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith, it said he never considered his body now dead. I love what the prophet said. He said it never even came into his understanding. Never came into his understanding. Think about that. Every seed of Abraham can believe like that today. Amen. Abraham, instead, he looked at the promise this way. He didn't understand how it couldn't happen. When the devil said it couldn't happen, he said, I don't understand that. Why are you looking at me like that? When true inspiration is behind the voice, it is actually creative power. That's why God told Moses, why are you crying? Quit crying. You know, if I'd have been in Moses' stead, I'd probably scream too. In fact, I know I would have. Amen. But he said, what are you crying for? Amen. Don't cry. Speak. Amen. He was talking to a believer. You see, it depends on who God tells it to. When he was talking to a believer, he was talking to a man that way because he already had the equipment in him to do what God told him to do. The faith in you is given utterance by your voice. Faith is not hindered by your condition when you're ready to obey the word. Faith is not hindered by your condition when you're ready to obey the word. When the maniac of Gadara saw that Jesus had come to his side, Jesus didn't come randomly. He came for a showdown. He told his disciples, I have to go to the other side. And when the maniac saw him come, he came down from the tombs and he began to cry out. Those demons began to cry out, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. Notice, his body is giving the demons a platform to express themselves. But they weren't expressing victory. And Jesus cut right through the confusion and he asked the man, what is your name? You know, if God asks you something, you need to pay attention. And the man, he exposed the demons that were there and he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Notice the identity confusion. My name is Legion, for we are many. But that man was willing in that hour to expose what was in him. And when he brought it out by his voice, the devil had no place to hide. The scriptures tells us that those demons prayed and asked the Lord, let us go into those swine. And 2,000 hogs died. An entire business was wiped out by one prayer of demons. And God answered that prayer. Amen. One man carried 2,000 demons, and those spirits could not stop him from making his request known. I said one man carried all these spirits, and they could not stop him when he came to the revealed word of the hour. It is because he recognized who was there. Amen. And I don't know why, how you came, and I don't know what your problem is, and I don't know all your buddies that you carried with you. But I tell you this, they have no power to stop a Son of God who comes into His presence and with His voice makes known His supplication. God made an appointment to go to that man. Now He's made His appointment to come to you. So there's power in your response. What do men say? Jesus asked, what do men say? God's message is perfect. How many believe that? I believe His message is perfect. I've heard men that have left the message says if it's a major prophet, amen, they do not make a mistake. If they make one mistake, they're not a major prophet. Then I might as well just take the Old Testament, cut it out, and throw it away. Because every one of these men made mistakes. And not just mistakes, major prophets made major mistakes. In fact, the one who wrote about, amen, how to tell how if a prophecy was true or not is the one that struck the rock 2 times and glorified himself. And God said, Moses, you glorified yourself and not God. I'm going to let you see the Lamb, but you're not going in. That was a major prophet. I think we'd all agree. But God's message is perfect, but He always sends it in a way that people have a hard time believing it. Because of how unusual that it is. It is the very, Brother Branham used this word, unusualness of the message that stumbles the people. You say, how is it unusual? You're unusual. Have you ever talked to any of the people in here? We're all unusual. But what they miss is they miss it Because they're unusual. He's unusual. And what they miss it because the spirit of revelation is not there. They miss how perfect this message dovetails with the entire Bible. And so just remember, this message did not come for me to take away my Bible from me. I did not quit reading my Bible when the message came, but rather the revealed word, the message of the hour, is showing us the written word. Amen. Without the message, brother and sister, we would only have a denominational perspective of what the Bible is telling us. Amen. We would be trying to learn Bible principles and applying them to our lives and make nice homes and nice families, which is nice, but that doesn't deliver them. It isn't just trying to prop something up and make it look acceptable and make it look good. Amen. You hear these religious songs coming out today. Amen. Nothing what we like what we heard this morning. You hear these religious songs coming out today and they're singing songs like, I'm more sinner than saint. Amen. Let me just tell you what, church. That's not to the church of the living God. We're not more sinners than saints. Amen. We have been washed by the blood of God. Amen. We have become the very righteousness of God Himself. Praise the name of the Lord. So we would only be trying to learn biblical principles with no real focus on the purpose of God, which is His rapture, which is the elect, the catching away. You know, the background to this scripture that I read to you, Matthew 16, is that Jesus warned them of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And a recount of the same story. In another book, he warned them of the leaven of Herod. You know what the leaven of Herod was? He liked prophets preaching. He liked to hear a prophet preach. And he was actually convicted. His conscience was stirred. But he also liked to watch his daughter dance. That was the leaven of Herod, worldliness. He could hear the prophet and go to the world. He could feed on both things. And he was troubled by what the prophet preached, but he wasn't moved to repent. But when he saw his stepdaughter dance, he said, I'll give unto you half my kingdom. God wasn't requiring that. He was requiring, hear the voice. If you hear the voice, don't surrender half your kingdom. Give it all up. That's the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod, amen, comes amongst every church. So is the leaven of Sadducees, which is false doctrine. Had so many weird ideas, amen, but amen, God said, beware of their leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, which put upon the people things they cannot even do themselves. You see, God won't put something on you that you cannot do. If He said, be ye therefore perfect, He could put it upon you because you are perfect by the way God has provided. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He's talking about the present ministry that they're watching. He did not ask them who they thought Moses was. He didn't ask them who they thought Noah was. He asked them, what are men saying that I am? And they all had different responses because everybody has a platform. Everybody has an opinion of what they're seeing. Some say, well, he's a prophet. He's John. He's Jeremiah. He's Elijah. He's this one. He's that one. And I begin to think about this. We begin to realize that our opinions are shaped and formed by what others think. Even so much that when people, real good people, and don't hear me wrong now, but when real good people stayed with John instead of Jesus, instead of following Jesus, when John had pointed out, this is the Lamb of God, some of his disciples rather wanted to stay with him instead of following the word. Even after they heard John say, I must decrease and he must increase. Don't get me wrong, but because they stayed with him, they begin to have questions. They were sent by him when he was in prison. Go ask him, are you the one? Is this really the Son of Man? Or should we look for another? Don't get me wrong. I love John. But why did they have questions? Because they didn't follow Jesus. Don't get me wrong. They stayed with the ministry of a man that God was finished using. Are you mad at me? I'm just telling you the truth. Read your Bible. You say, I don't believe in reading the Bible anymore. I don't listen to tapes. Well, then listen to him and hear what he said about it. Brother Branham never pointed to himself. He said, you're not feeding upon me. He said, against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it wasn't me that done it. It was God that came down. He said, you're not feeding on the words of a man. You're feeding on the unfailing. Say it with me. Unfailing body word of the Son of Man. He didn't say body word. He didn't say you're feeding on books. He said the body word of the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Word made flesh. Don't get angry at me. But because they stayed with John, they had questions and they became confused. Are you really the one? Amen. And what did Jesus say? Just come on up to the Texas camp and watch what's been going on. The sick are being healed. Amen. The dead are being raised back up to life. And the poor in spirit are having the gospel preached unto them. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, praise the Lord. He is the truth. Didn't those things happen to us last night? Brother Wayne is wore out because he gave everything he had for you in the service of God. Was it significant enough to catch your attention? Are you sitting here with questions? Do they do this in the denominational church? I want to just tell you something. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Any church can have signs and wonders, but only one can have rapture in faith. We're not looking for a better life now, because this life is full of sorrow. This life is full of struggle. Amen. But we're in a revival. And we are the revival. Can you say amen? We're not looking for a better life now. I don't have to write a book on that and say this is our better life now. Amen. But our life, there's things that are to be. That's why we're here. And that's what we're working for. What if the person asking you who you thought Jesus was one of the Pharisees? What if that was the only way you would ever hear about him? As one of the Pharisees came to you with scripture. No prophet came out of Galilee. Nowhere. Prove to me this man that you say, amen, is God, the Son of God. Prove to me by the scripture that this is who he is. You know why? Jesus wasn't going around telling everybody, I'm going to title part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through 40 or 50, amen, about how I was actually born in Bethlehem and you didn't know it. He didn't try to convince them. Why? Because if he could convince them, Satan would just take it from them. But amen, when he walked here, amen, he didn't give them the revelation. It had to be his Father. What if it was the Sadducees? Tell you, he's Beelzebub. He does his works by the power of the devil. All of their opinions are on a religious platform. They've got somebody to listen to them and to give an opinion of their opinion. There are men, these are men who question Jesus, trying to find out who he was. And they tried to trap him in his words. Satan and those religious men. The Bible says, Matthew 22, then went the Pharisees and they took counsel on how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians saying, Master, we know that thou art true. Now they're just lying. They don't believe it. But they say, we know you're true and teach us the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. This wasn't their objective to tell him he was true. But they just wanted to catch him. They wanted to get him on their website. And then they came with the trap. Tell us. What do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me ye hypocrites? He cut right to the chase. They said he's good. He said they're hypocrites. How many love Jesus as their pastor? Here they are with the social lovable religion saying all these good things about one they didn't believe in. And he says you're nothing but hypocrites. He said, show me the tribute money. I'm going to show you something you never knew about a penny. And they brought him a penny and he said unto them, I don't have a penny on me. You got a penny on you? Anybody got a penny? Nobody, nobody. Your money, you're penniless. Amen. And he took a penny. This isn't a penny, in case you're wondering. And he took a penny and he held it out to them. Amen. And he said, whose is this image and superscription? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They'd never looked at a penny that way before. These spirits are not dead, but they're working at sowing doubt into the minds of the people in order to draw them away from the truth. So when they asked them the question, Jesus asked for the money and they brought him a penny and he asked them, whose is this image? And they looked and recognized Caesar, but they never recognized the image that stood before them. Whose image is this? Oh, that's a penny. And behind it is the man that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Hallelujah. Behind it is a son of prosperity. Behind it is a man of wealth, a mighty man of wealth. Who is this? Oh, that's Caesar. No, no, no. That's just who you recognized. Jesus was talking about two images, but the Herodians only saw one. And they were speechless, but they still didn't get the revelation. You could have said, there's two sides of the coin. They only saw one. We use that expression, two sides of the coin, to describe a situation in which there be more to the situation than meets the eye. There may be more than what we see. There's two sides. There's two sides to the story. And when Jesus held out the penny, they only looked at what he held out. But it was the one who was holding the coin they were trying to trap. It was the one who was holding the coin that they turned away from. They could not accept what met the eye. They could only accept what met their perception of the eye, which was Roman authority, but not God's authority. What if you rented a stall on the temple grounds and sold sheep, and your only knowledge of Jesus was that he came one day and ruined your business? You took a whip, begin to beat the people. And you had a platform to express it on.
And you say he only says dog meat and he hates women and a bad woman is only worth a good clean bullet and all of this kind of stuff. Because that's all you saw. He's ruining your business. It's all right. What would you think of him then? What have you heard of Jesus from one of his 70 disciples who'd been given power and authority and they'd had a ministry, amen, that cast out devils and they taught about the wonderful works of Jesus. But when he began to reveal himself, begin to bring them up higher into the revelation of the Word and begin to open up about eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, these things are too hard to understand. And they turned and walked away. There's multitudes and factions that will fellowship around the bread of Moses. Fellowship around Jesus even saying, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. But when it comes to eating, we can't eat. And that's the commission we have to fulfill. Can you eat? What if that was the only way? Now, it sounds like if you hear it like that, it's all left up to chance, but it isn't. Because then you had a man like Bartimaeus, who Brother Branham illustrated so well, who was taught about Jehovah from a young boy on up, and something had been cultivated in him to believe in a living God, even though he hadn't seen a living God, and he was blind. He believed in someone real, and he didn't believe in the opinions that were being expressed on the platforms they were being expressed upon. Amen. And he was thinking on that certain day, on a certain day at a certain hour, he was thinking about the captain of the Lord's host talking unto Joshua. And thought, if he was still here, I would follow him. And the prophet said he didn't know it. But that same captain was only 500 yards down the road. And when the noise of his coming began to swell up, most of them were against him. And they were calling him a deceiver and calling him all sorts of names. Amen. He didn't listen to that. He began to say, who is this? Who is this? Somebody began to tell him, this is Jesus, the healer. And he began to cry out, a blind man, in all that noise, began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And his faith stopped Jesus in all the noise. And he asked him, what is it that I would do for you? It was his turn to answer the question. I've given you already illustrations on different avenues of how we hear the seed or how we hear the word. But a seed of God, when it comes to the light, when the light comes to him, rather, no matter what the condition is, they are unstoppable. When the sun pierces the darkness, the seed has to respond. Do you know it's only just this year that science captured that when the sperm hits the egg, that light actually flashes. And they just came out with it this year and they actually captured it on film. Amen. That when the sperm in a human meets the egg, they said, we've seen it in animals, but this is the first time we've seen it in humans. That when the light, amen, when the seed hits the egg, a light flashes. Well, the prophet had been saying that for years before science ever took a picture of it. Amen. He said, when a light flashes across that seed, quickly it comes to life. He said, it don't matter what the shelter is. There was a prostitute. Amen. A prostitute shelter. But the light of God struck that seed and she came out of that shelter. It is unstoppable. Just like the maniac, he was unstoppable when he came into the presence of God. So are you. So when Jesus turns to his disciples and he asks them, who do you say I am? Now it's their turn to respond. They've already said what others think. You know, so many people spend all their time on what others think. God never asked them. He's not worried about what others think about him. He wants to know, what do you think about me? God gave them a platform in which to express their voice. And He gave them that platform because they had to say what they were going to say. Amen. He could have asked them, why are you here? But instead, He asked them, who do you think I am? Because that is why they were there. That's why you're here. To answer that question yourself. Peter had to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. His voice expressed His hour. And when He expressed His hour, His purpose became clear. That's when heaven was revealed in earth. He had to open the door to the Jews at Pentecost, to the Samaritans, and to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius. He had to do that. It wasn't random. Think of how the Lord is dealing with you. Think of what we call the message. What and who do you think it is? What do you see when you look at this? Amen. When you look at this message, do you see something going on 50 years ago, 60 years ago? And don't get me wrong, we can listen to that. And even through that, what happened there, God still calls through history. Amen. The prophet said it like this. He said, if our nature becomes converted from the things of the world to the nature of the Holy Spirit, God will take His stand and abide on us. He said, inspired believers taking in the inspired word, these two together brings results. What do you think what was going on last night? You were inspired by the word. Faith can only come by one channel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the opinions of others. By hearing the word of God. And when the word of God is preached, amen, the faith that is in you is inspired to reach out and take it. But we're not just preaching any word. We're preaching a rapturing message coming from resurrection soil. That's why it's changing you from glory unto glory. Is it all right if I be myself for just a minute? I was told last night, don't feel sorry for me. I was told last night that I wasn't recognized because I had gained weight. I was unrecognizable. I was changed by what I was eating. Well, that's a bad type, isn't it? I'm going to milk it for all I got. Didn't give me a complex. It gave me something to preach on. Amen. I've been eating this word and eating this word and eating this word. And I've come to a place the devil don't recognize who I am. But he recognized the one that is living on the inside of me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I am who I am called to be. That's how you deal with a complex. Yes, sir. Come join me, brother. Let's show them. I could have done, Brother Tim. Brother Branham said it's the inspiration in your heart that puts the word to living. It's the inspiration in your heart that makes this word live again. Amen. We are not feeding on the words of a man. We are feeding on eternal life. And eternal life is being revealed not in 50 years ago, but right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Branham said, when the word of God is put into the fertile grounds of an inspired believer, it produces exactly what God said it would do. He said, you shall do the works that I do.
and greater works than these two shall you do. Why? Because God was expressing himself in one image. But this isn't just one now. It is a body. Amen. Captured around the world. And Satan has nowhere to hide. It's God's eternal word. The prophet said, you've got to waken the people. It's got to bring us to something when the word is received. And that's the inspiration. And a man is in no condition outside of repentance. He's in no condition to receive the word until first he's inspired. So salvation, he said, is not based upon what someone else thinks. It's what you think of him. Divine healing is not based on what critics say or what the church says. It's based on your perfect faith in the inspired word of God and how you're inspired to believe that. That's what brings the results, he said, is by the inspiration, by the word. Don't be confused, as our brothers have been preaching. God has said, listen, it's not us saying there's a difference between the message and the world. It's not us. God said it. God says, I put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. He put a difference between, amen, Moab and Israel. He put a difference, amen, between the cup of the Amorites and Israel. God was not bringing in a group of people into Canaan that were just like the Amorites. But he waited until the cup was full. If you study that word full, it says when the people got into a condition that iniquity was friendly. Now they're friends with evil. Then they've reached a ripened condition when they call, amen, evil good and good evil. And iniquity is more friendly to them than truth. God was not going to bring a people in like them. He wouldn't be just. He had to bring in a people that were changed and walking according to the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's what he's doing in this hour. He has put a difference. It's a clear difference. It's called the token. There's another example, the inspired word hitting an inspired believer. And here's a prostitute, a woman by the name of Rahab, and she's got enough guts. Amen, that when the messengers told her, amen, amen, that, amen, that they went into her house and she says, give me a true token. And they begin to tell her what to do. You understand? She became the voice of what she had been given. She became the voice of the token because she believed it. And God so honored that he came down himself and stood at her wall. Brother Branham says, when you're asking for the things you're asking for, when you've applied the token, you're only asking for what you are. How many believe that? So I appreciate what Brother Kenneth said last night as we're going down to that place down there. Amen. And he stopped me and he said, the doctors tell me that I got cancer, I got lymphoma. He said, but I believe what God has said. What did God say? He said, I don't have it. I'm healed. All doubt wants to rise up in your mind. But when an inspired believer takes the inspired word of God, it can only produce what the word says it will. Why do people get uncomfortable when somebody makes a confession of faith? You say, what if it don't happen? Well, what is confession good for then? You don't wait till you're saved to confess you're saved. Confession has to start. That's what the scripture says. Then salvation comes. He says, what does it do for you? Who does men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say I am? He said, sometimes it costs a price to say it. Sometimes it causes separation in homes. Sometimes it causes separation in churches, in lodges, and in all walks of life. Sometimes even between a husband and wife.
to say who He is? What's more precious to you? But I like Peter because he has a lot of mistakes like I have. But this time he was really inspired and he stood up quickly. The prophet said he stood up quickly. So should you. You shouldn't wait. You should stand up quickly and make your stand. He stood up and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." What was it? The inspiration of the Word. And he said, it wasn't flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but he said it was my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. Amen. It wasn't brought to him by human flesh. He didn't know him by human flesh. He wasn't serving God because his mommy was. He didn't stay in the message all these years because his daddy believed it. And so he just believed it second-handed. He caught it by revelation. So that's the question this morning. Who do you say this is? What would you believe? Your present character identifies what you would do. Because there's only one way to recognize the supernatural things of God, and that is by revelation. And if God does not reveal Himself to you, amen, the supernatural things are foolishness to you. You'll be bothered by what happened last night. Come on. You'll be ashamed of it. You'll quickly go the other way. And say, listen, we got quotes where he said the baptism of the Holy Spirit is without sensation. You don't even understand what he's saying there. He's not talking about you're not emotional. He's saying it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit without human intervention. We didn't get it by theory. We didn't get it because somebody taught us how to get it. We got it because it was predestinated by Almighty God to happen to us. Praise the name of the Lord. What report would you make your stand from? I often think of how the Lord's got my attention. When the truth came into us, when I first become aware of the message as a small boy, my mother's here. Amen. She was a believer and my dad wasn't. He was a good unbeliever. He believed my mother was an occult. And my mom would take me as a small boy, amen, to the house gatherings in Lima, Ohio, which was in the early 70s at that time, and we'd gather in the house, and my memories are of gathering in Tom Brown's house and listening to the reel of reel tapes, amen, and probably at that time I thought there was a lot of people in there, but there's probably only about 30 or so in that room, in that living room. We listened to the prophet's voice, and we would, when ministers would come through, they would preach there, and so we sat there, and then I would go with my dad to the Mennonite church, and I can remember him telling me very clearly one day, "Don't believe what your mom believes, she's in a cult." So I went to the Mennonite church, and I don't remember too much about that, because there's nothing to remember. Well, I've been there since. But at the time I was a small boy, that church didn't have any pull on me because it actually didn't even have it on my dad. He was just going there because his parents went there and he slept. But he sure hated the message with all his heart or with all his energy. I went with my mother, so I had these two influences, one for and one against. But my grandmother was working for Brother Bill Dow. Amen, who Brother Bam talks about often, and she would go, and this was before I was born, she would go to the meetings with them, and that's where she come in contact with the prophet, and the prophet spoke to her, and she was healed of tumors and so forth. And I can remember her telling me very clearly, he says, "Danny, when we were in those meetings, the anointing of God was so powerful that if the prophet said, 'Get down on the floor,' the entire congregation would have got down on the floor, and we would have rolled, and we'd have done whatever he said." She said, "But I want to tell you something. The inspiration I felt today during the preaching of the Word is just like that." So she wasn't pointing back to another day. She was living in this hour, recognizing that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, church. She wasn't living back. Amen. There's other voices that have testimony. She wasn't living back stuck 50 years ago. It's all right. Let me just tell this testimony of hers. She just passed on us in Thanksgiving. Her favorite day of the year was Thanksgiving. She passed away at 8 o'clock Thanksgiving in the hospital. We went there. All our family gathered in there. We brought in a Thanksgiving dinner, and then she passed away, amen, 8 o'clock after we had dinner with her. But the day before, Wednesday, a brother had come in to visit her. Amen. And my uncle was there. My mother was there. And my aunt was there. Amen. And the nurse was there. And my uncle is laying there. He's sleeping against the window. And he said, when I raised my head, I looked. He said, sitting on the end of the bed was a young man with black hair combed over to the side. And his eyes were looking directly into mine. He said, and I blinked my eyes and he was gone. He says, what was that, Danny? What was that? I said, well, did you recognize who he was? He says, no, it was a young man. He goes, did it really happen to me? I said, Uncle Sam, I said, you just came out of your sleep. You didn't even have time to imagine. It was right there in front of you. Then we had the funeral. On Sunday, my wife had made a collage of dozens of pictures, and we put it in the vestibule. And as my uncle comes out of that funeral, and he's walking there, he walks over to all these pictures and begin to look. One of the sisters here, she looked at one of those pictures, and she says, who is that? And he says, my eyes was drawn right to the same eyes as the young man that was looking at me from that hospital bed. And then my sister-in-law walked over and pointed to the same picture and said, who is that? Out of all the dozens of pictures, two sisters pointed out the same picture of my grandmother as a young woman and her two brothers. And the one in the middle was exactly the young man that was sitting on the end of the bed. Now that young man, all his life, he never served God. My grandmother would talk to him about the message and he wouldn't come. He never married, but he treated my grandmother's kids like his own, and his house became a gathering place for everybody to come. One day he got sick. He was elderly now and he got sick, and my grandmother living in Florida went up to take care of him. And he's in the hospital and she comes in one morning. She said, Danny, she said his countenance had totally changed. And he told her, he said, Edna, I want to tell you something. Someone came to me last night, and everything you have been telling me is the truth. And when I get out of this room, I'm going to be baptized. He never got out of the room. He passed. But God never forgot him. He'd never been to Florida before. But when she was passing, he was there on the end of the bed. I'm telling you, it was because not of another gospel. The revealed word that changed him. The grace of God at the end of his life. This revealed word is not the message of a man. It's God's. There's not another Jesus. There's not a Jesus of the Bible and a Jesus of the message. Come on, church. And so my dad persecuted my mother for years. He made this statement that if Brother Branham's in heaven, I don't want to go, which is pretty stupid. You understand? But he hated it so much. He tried to disrupt the services, tried to do all these things. But it came down to a point. The persecution became so severe that my grandmother asked Brother Branham, and you can find it in the COD book. She asked Brother Branham, he said, I have two daughters married to men in the denominations, and they believe this message and have taken a stand for it and have received opposition. What shall we do? And the prophet made a simple statement. He said, hold your stand. Absolutely. Show your colors. Don't be afraid to say, I'm a believer. Of his sin. Oh, I feel like David. My lines have fallen in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. And the prophet made that simple statement. Hold your stand. He said, I don't say don't go among them in fellowship or something. As long as you can fellowship. But when it comes to changing your diet. When it comes to changing your diet. A dove can't eat with a buzzard. Why are you trying to eat out there with them in hopes they'll come back through your love? They won't come back through your love. You'll go with him. He said, hold your stand. Be like David's mighty men. Stand in the field of lentils and swing the sword until your hand cleaves to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what you're called to do. I can remember now as when I was born, my dad moved my mother all over the country. I trust this is all right. Maybe it'll help somebody in here. He moved her all over the country, lived in California, bought land in New Mexico, which we still have that land today and can't do anything with it. We got some believers here from Mexico. You can have it. New Mexico. Have it. Blessed. Please. Take it. Still there. I remember going up there as a five-year-old boy buying land. I didn't. I was five. My dad did. Moved to Florida. That's where I was born. Dad went all through that little Mennonite community telling everybody, my wife's in a cult. They believe something strange, like about a serpent and Eve and all this kind of things. And she's in a cult. Don't believe it. 10 years of this persecution, he destroyed all her books, took her clothes, would throw them out in the yard, do everything he could to discourage her. One day, her brother come to the Lord, was going to get baptized. And my mother went to my dad and asked him, can I go to my brother's baptism? And he said, I'll tell you what, if you go, when you get back, I'm gone and the kids are gone. I'm finished. I'm done with it. She has a choice. Who do you say I am? The prophet said, hold fast. Show your colors. You say, Brother Danny, it was just a baptism. No, it was something eternal going on. She said, I'm going anyway. Now, I should have a complex from that. She's willing to lose me to follow Christ. So I don't care what anybody says about this. I mean, my own mother was willing to give me up. I have a goodly heritage. She said, I'm gone anyway. And then the pressure came down on that man. He put his hands in his pocket and he began to walk around. Then the glory of God came down. And he turned around and looked at her, something simple in a kitchen, and said, I'll take you. And a week later, he was baptized. Praise the name of the Lord. Why? Why? Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. When the pressure got so hard, my mother would ask my grandmother, are you sure? Are you sure this thing is right? And she said, I don't know of anything else. I want you to know the faith that was in my grandmother and the faith that was in my mother is now the faith that is in me. And it wasn't passed down by genetics. It was passed down by the predestinated will of God. Blessed be the Lord. That's why you're here. I was called to stand in this hour. Because she stood, I can stand. But she couldn't stand if he hadn't stood and said, who do you say that I am? And then God has a sense of humor. We know he does. Amen. And he called my daddy to preach. My dad was one of the first three deacons in Lima, Ohio, when they built the first church that Brother Craig is pastoring there now. Amen. As they was completing the finishing of that building, my dad was called by the Lord. The Lord called both my dad and my mother to move to Florida, back to where he testified that everything was wrong, that this whole message was wrong. Called him back there. We lived in a hotel for a number of weeks. And my dad said, I prayed and asked the Lord. He said, I'll live anywhere in Sarasota, Florida, but don't put me in Pinecraft, that Mennonite community. So for 30 years, we lived right in the middle of Pinecraft. Why? Because the one, like Paul, the one who had been persecuting the church, now has come back and we heard that he's changed and he's following this Jesus that we've heard about. Blessed be the Lord. I'm telling you, that same God that could do that for my dad can do that for your family. But you've got to make the same kind of stand. Who do you say this is? Well, my dad, who passed away 6 years ago, he said, I was in the message 40 years. 10 against it and 30 for it. But he was in it. I had a woman come one day to the church. She already knew about the message, and she was reading one of the tracts in the back, and was in the pre-service, and what she read got her so mad that she jumped up and ran out of the church and disappeared. And our church is in the country. So we got the deacons going up and down the road. They're looking for this woman. They can't find her. It's a busy road out there. There's a private lane across the road, and I went across to that private lane and went way up the lane to that house, and there she is sitting on the porch of somebody she don't know. Since then, that place has put a gate across that lane. Man, it says private property, no trespassing. This was before that. And so, amen, I come up to her and said, this is private property. Why don't you come back to the church? And I was calling her sis. I was trying to be nice. Sis, she says, I'm not your sis. Don't call me sis. Amen. So I called her ma'am. Don't call me man. There's nothing I could say. She was angry. She said, somebody's got to expose this church. Somebody got to expose this cause. Then she put her hand out as we're walking back. She says, God, expose this church. Expose this church and the deception that is there. And I just looked at her and says, ma'am, just calm down. I said, let me tell you something. My dad hated this message as much as you do. And he said, if Brother Branham's in heaven, I don't want to go. She goes, bless his heart. I said, and he's the one that built that church. And I took her over to the pavilion and we sat down and we began to talk about Scripture. Amen. And as I began to talk about Scripture, I just kept talking about Scripture, just kept bringing her Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Amen. And she kept quoting out of books I've never heard of and saying words I'd never heard of. And I'd quote Scripture and she'd say words I'd never heard of. And I'd quote Scripture and she'd say words I'd never heard of. Finally, she got so mad again and she says, I know where you're getting that. I said, where am I getting it? You're getting that from that man you think's a prophet. I said, you just paid him the greatest compliment that you could. Because I've done nothing but quote the word to you. All you've done is quoted other men's theologies. I've quoted the word. He came to do exactly what he said he would do. Turn the hearts of the children back to the original faith again. That's why all we can bring out is word, word, word. Praise the name of the Lord. It's time to close. Who do you say this is? If Jesus is in you tonight, it's still God manifesting himself in the last days. The Son of Man revealing himself in his church. The human flesh making himself known. Is that how we believe the message? Or is it that every promise that is talking of Luke 17:30, we apply it to 50 years ago? But the same word that speaks of the groom is the same word that speaks of the bride. You said, where does it say that? If you'd read the message, you'd find it. It's in the rising of the sun. It's there. Maybe that's one tape you don't listen to. There's certain tapes the devil don't want you to push play on. See, you get to see God is in his church, making himself again the Word, the Son of Man, being revealed in the last days as it was in the days of Sodom. And when the Word here unites with the person and they two become one, what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Can I ask you a question this morning? Who do you say the Son of Man is? If you put him back 50 years ago, I want to make some folks angry. You're not in rapturing ground. You say, Brother Danny, now be careful. But remember, God gave Moses the commandments before they ever crossed over, which is a type of the seals, he said, coming in. But where did they come in effect is when they crossed into the land. The Word in the church becomes one. How can the bride come and fail to manifest everything that was promised of him and the groom come and he wouldn't be the bride. But when he did everything, even proving it by raising himself up from the dead afterwards, then don't the bride have to do the same thing, have to be exactly what the word said she would be in the last days? Don't she have to return through Malachi 4? Don't she have to be manifested like it was in the days of Sodom? What days are we living in, brother and sister? Brother Branham called it Sodom then, but now look at it. The tree was green then. It ain't green anymore. Sodomy has come in like a flood. Amen. It's coming into the churches that call themselves the church of the living God. It's trying to take our boys. It's trying to take our girls. But their only standard that can be raised to combat that is the sign of the Son of Man living again in flesh. How many believe that? Then I want to tell you something. The prophet said in Christ the mystery, we have, when the headship has become and united with the body, we have, say it, we have the answer to the devil's question. What is the devil's question? If thou be. Somebody has got to take that platform and express it. Let's stand together. Come, brother. Whoever's on time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's try the key of G. Amen. I'm going to praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him. I praise Him till the sun goes down. I'm here to praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise. Oh, praise Him. I praise Him till the sun goes down. And I will serve Him. Oh, serve Him. Serve Him in the morning. Amen. Serve Him. I serve Him. Serve Him till the sun goes down. Oh, I love Him. Yes, love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him in the noontime. Love. Oh, I love Him. Love Him when
alive. alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It is down in my heart, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, keeping me alive. Amen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. And enjoy His word. Amen. We certainly appreciated that this morning. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Andrew Tushner if he'll come close the service for us. Amen. Just pray over the food that we're about to partake of. We do want to announce that if you have not yet paid for your meals and or your lodging, Sister Marie Lay will be in the Hammeter Lodge after lunch. That's that first lodge when you first pull onto the campgrounds, kind of on the left side when you're coming in. And so please see her so she can make the arrangements to pay for the food. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord together in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, O God, how mighty You are, Lord. How wonderful are Your works, O God. Lord, we just thank You thus far, Lord, for the services that we've had, Father. Lord, that we can say that this is a live wire that we've grabbed, oh God. There's a current in us that keeps us, oh God. Lord, we ask now that You would be, go with us, Father, as we leave this place. Lord, our hearts burning within us as You've walked with us, Lord, revealing Yourself to us. Lord, we ask, oh God, that You would bless our fellowship this day, oh God. Bless the food that we receive. May it just give us strength, oh God. And Lord, may we all in our hearts, oh God, meditate on what we've heard. That we may be ready, O God, this evening to receive what You have for us, O God. Lord, we ask, O God, that You would just bless us. Bless the minister, Father, as he prepares. Lord, we just ask for Your power to be demonstrated among us, we ask. We thank You, O God, and we want to say we love You. We appreciate all that You've done for us now. Go with us, we pray, Lord, for we cannot go without You. In Jesus' name we pray.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, through the mist. Oh, soon and very.